It is a great morning to gather in God's house of worship and prayer. It's a great morning to just reflect of how good God is. And when we think of our candidates this morning wanting to seal their decision with baptism, it's exciting. My name is Larry Kaler, and I'm from the Austin area, and it's good to be with you this morning. We usually drive against the sun for quite a while of our journey, and so I always observe in spring where the sun is when we start to drive. So today, because our service is a little bit later, we started off driving a bit later, but we usually, when we turn on the number one, we usually hit the sunshine. But it's a surprising how fast it moves towards the north, and can just see the days getting longer. And it's good to see that. I want to start off with two familiar verses. And some may say these are our favorite verses, but I think they're verses of the greatest hope that we have. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that wonderful? God had one Son. He gave him up. To cruelty. That we would not perish. But that we could have everlasting life. You know, some may feel condemned because of the gift of Jesus. But really, it's our sin that condemns us. It says that God did not send his Son to condemn the world. But that we, through him, could be saved. And that is a glorious thought. That is a wonderful thought, that we don't have to face eternal life without hope. That all who believe in the name of Jesus can be saved, will be saved. So let us open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We come before your throne of grace and mercy and love. We thank you for sending your only Son to this earth. And as he grew up, and as the time came closer that was appointed for him to die, he went to the cross with great heaviness, with great sorrow. But he did it so that you and I could be saved. That we could have hope, and that we could have eternal life with you. This morning, I thank you for each one that has come this morning. May you just open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. That we can, as we've gathered together as believers, just worship and praise you for all the wondrous things you have done for us. We again rebuke and acknowledge that we have an enemy, but he is defeated. And so we pray that Satan would have no power or presence here this morning, that by the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus, that we could truly worship Jesus alone. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we'll begin with a few songs.
Take your red hymn book, turn to page 8, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Number 8.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at thy Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has
What a friend we have in Jesus. <clears throat> 353, could we stand?
Thank you for those opening songs. When I think of a friend like Jesus, and I sometimes think about we are willing to sing and say that he is our friend, do we trust him like a friend? It says that, oh, what needless pain we bear. That's simply because we often fail to trust him. And I think about often when maybe when life gets difficult, who is the first person that we run to? Is it our best friend? But when we can truly say that Jesus is my friend, why wouldn't we trust him with everything? You know, I opened up with that Jesus came to this world for a purpose. And that was to provide us, be a sacrifice, atonement for our sins. And so when we think of that, and always when I think of an illustration to explain that, I think about, so if our best friend was dying, and he needed blood. And if your blood was suitable for him, would you give that for him? That's a hard question to ask. But we know that there are people that do that. Even people that, you know, donate an organ for someone to have a healthier life. And yet this is what Jesus did so that we could have eternal life. So what we often fail to do is to think about eternity. Because we're too caught up in the present time, the here and now, that we don't give enough time and thought to, you know, what will eternity look like? For you, for me? Or where will we spend it? And we know that from the scriptures that those who believe and trust in Jesus will spend eternity with him. So today I will do the questions first. And so I'll ask the candidates to stand. We'll start on page 3. And if you, like I say, if you feel tired or weak or whatever, feel free to sit down. I'll probably pause somewhere a bit. I'll ask you to stand, and then we'll start with question 1. We'll start first row here. What should be our chief aim in this life?
To live in God's fellowship and grace, enjoy his favor, and obtain eternal happiness hereafter.
Must we provide for the needs of the body?
Yes, but in a Christian manner, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
What is the kingdom of God?
At the present time, it is within all the believers, and its essential qualities are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In its fullness, it is the coming universal kingdom of righteousness under Christ.
How do we become members of the kingdom?
By faith in God and Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Is it enough to profess faith with the mouth only?
No, faith must work by love.
Right. So then part 1, the creation. God, the creator of all things. Who created all things?
God. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth.
Who is God?
The one God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
How can we know that there is a God?
Nature, the conscience, and the testimony of the Holy Scriptures teach us that there is a God.
Right. Next page, on page 7, the knowledge of God from nature. How does nature teach us that there is a God?
All created things teach us that there must necessarily be a God who created all things.
What testimony does Paul give on this subject?
He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even in his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Then we have the knowledge of God from the Holy Scriptures. What do the Scriptures say that God is?
That God is a spirit.
What additional testimony does it give of God?
That he is the one living God, eternal and unchangeable in his being, that he is unfathomable, all-seeing, all-knowing, omnipotent and omnipresent, that he is perfect in love, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, and that he is most gracious, benevolent, merciful, and long-suffering.
Is this all the Scriptures have to say about God?
They say a great deal more about God as anyone can find for himself.
Then we have the Holy Scriptures. What are we to understand by the Holy Scriptures?
The writings of the Old and New Testament called the Bible.
Are these writings the Word of God?
They are. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Were they not written by the will of men?
No. Holy men of God spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Are the Scriptures the infallible truth?
They are, for all things therein foretold of Christ have been literally fulfilled.
Is it profitable for us diligently to read the Scriptures?
It is. For if we know the Holy Scriptures from childhood, they are able to make us wise unto salvation. But we must pray God for his Holy Spirit to enlighten our understanding.
Then we have chapter 2, God revealed as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do the Scriptures further teach concerning God?
That God revealed himself therein as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
What do the Scriptures testify of God the Father?
That he is the true Father over all called children in heaven and earth, that he is the Father of all believers, and that he is in a special manner the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What is said in the Scriptures of Christ, the Son of God?
That he is the true and only begotten Son of God.
Is Jesus Christ the Son of God from all eternity?
Yes, he was with the Father from the world was, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Is he also true God?
Yes, he is the true God and eternal life.
What do the Scriptures teach concerning the Holy Spirit?
That he is a true Holy Spirit sent from the Father by the Son, thus coming from the Father and the Son.
Is the Holy Spirit also called God?
Yes, for when Ananias had lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter said, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God."
Are then the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit three gods?
No, there is only one God, for these three are one.
Chapter 3, how the triune God created everything. By whom did God create all things?
He created all things by Jesus Christ, by whom he also made the world.
Did the Holy Spirit also have a part in the work of creation?
Yes, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth.
In how many days did God create all things?
In 6 days God made heaven and earth and all things, and rested on the seventh day, and blessed and sanctified it.
You may be seated for a little bit. And so when we think about the beginning of time, or the beginning of this earth, and I guess sometimes I think too much, but I think about Because in our small little mind, there is a beginning and an end. And I think about, so where was God like before the creation? And I think about, if we go back to Genesis, it would tell us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So when we think about an eternal God, think about eternity. That means that no beginning, no ending. And scriptures remind us often that, you know, I am first and I am last. Jesus tells us that. And so there's a lot of things that we just need to accept in pure faith. Trust in God. That His word is true. Having faith that if we obey, then He will bless us. And we could read that in the Old Testament of how God worked in people's lives. You know, the children of Israel, God gave them a leader, Moses. You know, when Moses went to the rock and water came out of there, do you believe that? See, this is the question I ask. If you believe that, then what tells you that you believe that? It's our faith. Just believing that, first of all, that God's word is truth. And so when the children of Israel came up to the Red Sea, and God says to Moses, keep walking. You know, that took faith. See the children of Israel were at a point of, in their mind, were at a point of drowning or being killed by the Egyptians because they were pursuing them. But I always like when I read that, you know, put yourself in that position. Just think about it. Just put yourself right at that spot. You know, Moses had to have faith that God would do what He said He would do. You know, and the sea parted. And they got to walk through on dry ground. But that may not convince you yet, because it's just Old Testament and it's maybe 3,000-4,000 years ago. It sounds like a good story. See, the Word of God really doesn't mean anything to us until we fully believe. Till we have our faith and believe that God's Word is true. And so I always like, you know, today we're in 2023. So I could ask you today, what does God do in your life today? So that's real. So you might ask, so how did Larry come to believe in Jesus Christ? And I could give you my story. I could ask any one of you, I says, tell me how you came to believe in Jesus Christ. And you should all have a different story, because you're not all like me. You might have similar circumstances that helped you bring you to Jesus Christ. But this is what makes the Word of God alive. And this is what makes our faith alive, is when we can share our testimony, our story with one another. And I've shared this before, but I'll tell you that You know what? If it hadn't been for the voice of Jesus right beside me, I may not be here today. Because Jesus talked to me in the deepest struggle in my life. But Satan was also talking to me, and he says, just, you know what, you can end your trials, just end your life. See, that's what Satan was telling me. And on the other hand, Jesus said to me that night, I was 15 years old, he said to me, just trust me, come to me, and I will help you. And I didn't have no fancy prayer. I just said, Jesus, I need you now. That was my prayer. Your prayer is different. See, this is how we make our faith come alive, because when I did that, Satan had to leave. Because he can't stand the name of Jesus. He can't stand Jesus, period. Because Jesus is way more powerful than Satan. Satan left, and that load, my burden that I was struggling with, left too. And there was new hope in me. I had all the good things. I had parents that loved the Lord. I had parents that wanted the best for me in my school. I had a good church where I went to, and I went to Sunday school, and I went to youth. I had all those things, but I had to make that decision. My parents couldn't do that for me. See, this is, I'm just encouraging us today that this is what makes our faith so real. Because when we can have those experiences, then we can say, God, your word is your word. Did all my struggles and trials go away? Absolutely not. Do I still have struggles and trials? Absolutely. But I have a friend that walks with me now, and his name is Jesus. See, he wasn't that close of a friend at the age of 15 that he is now. That's because I've grown in my faith. And I'm glad we can grow. And there were things, part of my life, that God had to teach me along the way that he didn't want part of my life. That he didn't want in my life. And so I had to deal with them. In my Bible, it's Ephesians 4, that verse 14, it talks about a new life in Christ. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. But he says we are no more children tossed to and fro. Now we have a foundation. When we trust what Jesus did, we have a foundation. And Jesus wants to be trusted. And we had about the Holy Spirit. I think very often we take for granted how great a work the Holy Spirit is in our lives. See, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. He tells us that in John. He says, but I will send to you a helper, a teacher. Now, some of us may think that the Holy Spirit is just a mere conscience, maybe. But the Holy Spirit is way bigger than we can ever imagine. You know, when we decide to follow Jesus and the Spirit is indwelling in us, the Spirit is going to nudge us and teach us things. And maybe I'll give you a little example. This makes life real again. I had a great father, and I didn't realize that when I was young and rebellious. I took for granted that of his wisdom, like I think most of us do. And I grew up on a dairy farm, so we milked cows morning and evening. And one Sunday afternoon, my friends came over and they said, "Let's go to the movies. Let's go watch a movie tonight." And it was a little bit, that was controversial in our home. We didn't do that. And so I went to my father. We were milking cows. And asked him if I could go to the movies tonight. And he said, "Well, I'll let you make that decision today." And that's the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted him to tell me no or yes. But he let me make up my own mind. And I went out to my friends and I says, "No, I won't be going today." And I think about that often today, and I wonder, you know, as a 16, 17-year-old young man, why wouldn't we? A night out with your friends and buddies. Why wouldn't I just go and live it up, right? Or have a great time. And today, I think about that often, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit that is working in your lives at that point. And that's how he has showed himself to me many times, and I'm sure to many of you. We make decisions at some point, and later on we ask, "So why did we make them?" Or perhaps we made the wrong decision, and maybe we got in trouble. And see, God led that in my life many a time, because even on the side of alcohol, God took that desire away from me. Like, I never struggled with alcohol. And like I tell you, I was saved at 15, so very young. I was at a stage where most of us just want to get away from our authority under our parents, and we want to do what we want to do. And this is why I say today, you know, I think we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in my life, the Holy Spirit has very often made the decision against what I would have made myself. He, at that moment, just gave me the power to say no. When my flesh, very often, if I would have relied on my flesh, would be very weak. And so I want to encourage all of us, you know, the power talks about the triune God, how they created everything, but the power of the Holy Spirit is very real in our lives today. And when we can see that how he directs our life, God's word becomes much more precious to us. I got a little off on the questions and answer here, but at this time I think we'll just kneel for prayer. And You know what? We can pour out our hearts to God, whatever our struggle is. Like I say, we all have struggles. If you're struggling with something, let's bring it to God. So at this time, would you kneel with me in silent prayer? We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us take the blue book and turn to 157, the Lily of the Valley. 157, let's stand.
Thank you for that song. Very fitting. At this time, I'll ask the candidates to stand again, and we'll continue on page 15, the creation of man. What did God create in his own image?
God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him.
How many human beings did God create in the beginning?
Only two, Adam and Eve. From them all mankind has descended.
Out of what was Adam created?
Out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
How was Eve created?
The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and God took one of the ribs and made a woman from it, and brought her unto him.
Where did the Lord God place our first parents, Adam and Eve?
In a garden in Eden.
The creation of angels. Are there also created beings in heaven?
Yes, the angels.
What are angels?
They are ministering spirits.
For what purpose did God create angels?
To praise and exalt God and minister to the good of his children.
Did Did some angels rebel against God?
Yes, some left their habitation and are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day.
What are they called?
Evil spirits or devils.
What is their nature and activity?
They are enemies of God and seek the eternal destruction of mankind.
Chapter 4, God the preserver and ruler of the world. Does God provide for his creatures?
Yes, he causes the grass to grow for the beast and herb for man. He gives food to all in his time, life and breath and all things.
Can anything live without God's care?
No, for if he takes away their breath, they perish.
Does God govern all things he created?
Yes, he governs the nations upon the earth, and he will reign forever and ever.
Can we understand God's care and government?
No, God's ways are part finding out, and his judgments are unsearchable.
Right. What does all this teach us?
That we should trust in God, our Creator, Preserver, and Ruler, cast all our care upon him, and seek his kingdom and his righteousness, trusting that all things shall be added unto us.
Right. Part 2, the fall of man. The condition of man before the fall. What was man's condition in paradise?
It was glorious and highly blessed.
Was man created good?
Yes, God made man upright. He created man in his own image after his own likeness.
Wherein does man's likeness to God consist?
Man was created after God in righteousness and true holiness.
Did Adam and Eve continue in their blessed condition?
No, they sinned and fell away from God, they and all their posterity.
Right. The fall of man. What sin against God did our first parents commit?
In disobedience to God's command, they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God had forbidden when he said, "Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die."
What induced them to commit this sin?
An evil spirit called the serpent deceived them.
Who is this evil spirit?
He is called the devil and Satan, who was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth.
How did Satan beguile Eve?
He said, "Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil."
Why did they so readily believe?
They became desirous to become wise and like God.
The results of the fall. What were the results of Adam's disobedience?
Sin and death came into the world.
What do we understand by his death, which came over Adam in his prosperity?
The spiritual death of soul and physical death of body. The body must die and return unto dust, and man, prone to do evil, has become guilty of eternal condemnation.
How did sin reveal itself in Adam's posterity?
All flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth, so that the Lord had to destroy them from the earth.
Is there anyone on earth without sin?
No. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. No one is without sin except the Son of God, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit.
What should this teach us?
From this we should learn that by nature we are prone to evil and are children of wrath. And realizing our sinful condition, we should seek forgiveness through the grace and mercy of God.
Right. You may be seated. That's as far as we'll go today. Thank you for answering those questions. You did a great job. And you weren't even that nervous. Perfect. When we think of what God did, the creation, and I'm just thinking, you know, first of all, he made someone very special to himself, man. He said he created someone in his own image. And And I think often I get asked the question, so what does God look like? Like you. Isn't that great? That he looks like each one of us. But he's perfect. He's all powerful. Like it said here, he created man in his own image. Now, man has many forms, and we all look different, and it puzzles me that we can all have a different fingerprint. And yet, God created us in his own image. He wanted someone, I believe the most important part was there was someone he could connect and relate with. So he gave us a body of flesh and blood, but he gave us a living spirit. You know, when God, I always say God went playing in a sandbox, and he made an image of himself, but then he breathed the breath of life into him, the spirit of life. And it always astonishes me, you know, our organs, how they all function together. You know, my heart pumps blood, and it has all these veins and arteries, and which lead to every part of my body. Isn't that amazing? You know, I cut off one little vein and my whole leg wouldn't get blood. And how complex it is. You know, years ago I ended up with an appendix that they took out. The doctor said, oh, you don't need that anyhow. And then I wonder, well, why did God put it in there then? So I believe that, you know, there's parts in our bodies that we think we can live without, but God put it there for a reason, right? That's how great God is. But what he wants is a connection with your spirit and his spirit. See, it says here that we were created for his pleasure. His pleasure. You know, what was his pleasure? I think his pleasure was when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, that he could come there and walk with them and talk with them. That is God's pleasure today when you and I, we talk with him and we walk with him. I go for a walk quite often, and it's my time that I can think and talk to God. But you know, then God created angels, and it says they're ministering spirits. And I believe many of us have an angel or many angels watching over us. You know, I live right on just a mile off the number one highway, and so I get to cross it often. And there's been a few times where, you know what, there was a car in my blind spot, and I just proceeded. Was there an angel there? I believe so. And at the last minute, I just saw it and I stopped. And I always think about another instance when our eldest son, that not here anymore, but me and him were in a tractor one day, and it was an older tractor, and we also live between two railway tracks. And I remember going up to the railway track, and at the there's kind of this one track has a bush. And at the last minute, all I saw was headlights of a train. And I remember in my nervousness trying to find reverse, because all I need to do is back up about 10 feet. And I couldn't get that thing in reverse. And I already told my son to jump. He jumped into the ditch. And at the last few minutes or half a second or whatever it was, I found reverse. Does that just happen by coincidence, or is God's hand in those situations? I believe it's God's hand. I truly believe that God protects us in ways that just baffle our minds. And I wonder how often he does that for you and me. Times in what that we are totally unaware of. And I believe those are the angels that he puts over us to watch us. Does he take care of us? He feeds us. You know what? He causes the grass to grow and the crops and the gardens. You know, those are all blessings from God. He has provided. You know, he started off with two people in a garden. And I think the world now is somewhere close to 9 billion. And he's still feeding us all. He's still feeding us. And so he's looking after us. So through our fall, we had an enemy. The enemy beguiled Eve. Eve fell for fruit of a tree that she was not supposed to partake of. And today, you and I, we have an enemy, Satan. He says, scriptures tell us that he's there and he buffets us, or he puts us in trials and temptations. But you know what? He's defeated. I want to tell you today that Satan has no power. Jesus Christ defeated him. See, when our trials get kind of overwhelmed, you know why that is? Because we fail to trust the one who conquered Satan. See, we've moved away from trusting God to relying on our own strength, and then the battle becomes sometimes what people call fierce and unbearable. See, we need to move back to our position in Christ. Because the enemy is defeated. If you go to Ephesians, and I think it's chapter 5, we need to put on the armor of God. The word, the sword, the breastplate. It all has to do with God's word. And when we move back close to Jesus, many of those trials become small because we have a friend who has fought the battle for us. He has fought the battle for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are reminded that going back to our faith and trust in Jesus. And this is what makes it difficult. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trusting in something that we do not see. Because we are a visual, physical people. We like to see, and we like to go to a specific spot. See, the faith is the opposite. We believe on something that we have not seen. You know, Thomas said, when Jesus arose from the grave, he says, I won't believe until I see his holes in his hands or the hole in his side. He says, unless I do that, I will not believe. And that's how we are. That is not faith. And Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. And further in chapter 11, it talks about Abraham. You know, in verse 8, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. You can read Abraham's story in Genesis 12 and 13. You know, God called him to go to a totally strange land. He was to forsake his family, his inheritance, his country, and pick up everything and move. I always say Abraham had a lot of faith. We are a people today, if we don't know all the details of what's going to happen, we say, no, I'm not going there. Or that doesn't work, won't work. See, it says here that Abraham went out not knowing whither he went or where he was supposed to go. God led him, and we should be the same way. See, it goes on there. He says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. See, he went into a strange country, dwelling in tents. That is faith. So I want to just encourage us today. How strong is our faith? Are you choosing to live by faith? And I also want to also encourage you that, you know, if your trials or battles are tough, let's get closer to the one who fought them for us. So with that, I'd like to just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we once again come before you this morning. We thank you that we can read about people that have lived by faith. We thank you that we can read how Jesus came as a small child into this world, down to this earth. And that he died and rose when he made that sacrifice. We're thankful today that Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father up above. I'm thankful today that you have sent your Holy Spirit and your angels to be within and over us. And I just pray that you would bless this congregation with a desire to trust you in all things, and that you would increase their faith. That we can both serve and live according to your will. Heavenly Father, you have given us a land of great blessings. Help us to be true to you, to stand up for you in these trying days. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we kneel in prayer, I had a little prayer request. I don't know the name, but someone with knee problems is asking for us to pray for them. So let us do that, and let us kneel in prayer at this time. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 292, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's stand, please.
First off, I'd like to thank Larry for his very touching message. Thank you. And also, thank you for coming today. Just before the service, he was kind of joking that I think even some of the song leaders that, what if he would have shown up a few minutes late this morning? I don't know. They thought it funny, but I didn't think it very funny. If they'd show up late, there'd be a puddle of sweat here right about now. So thank you for coming. Just a few announcements. So there's opportunities to help in the church to grow and to work for the Lord. So they're looking for a sound man. So if there's anybody who's interested in helping out in the sound booth on Sunday mornings, we'd love to help you. We'd love for you to help us. And then there's also Sunday school teachers. I believe there's still some help needed in Sunday school. So if there's anybody who's interested in helping in Sunday school, we'd love for that as well, for you to help us if you're able to. There's just opportunities to help serve, to help grow the Church of Christ. And also today we have potluck. So right after this service, for those who are interested, you can join us in the dining hall for having some fellowship lunch. And then there's an announcement from Seminole, Texas. There was a bishop election. Isaac Fair has been elected as bishop in Seminole Church. So praise the Lord. God is still working. God is still building churches and putting leadership in those churches. And then I was asked to ask this congregation this morning, the first service doesn't have any baptism candidates, and they're asking for anybody who would be willing to just volunteer for the first service to just come up front here to kind of answer the questions like these baptism candidates are doing. But it wouldn't be for baptism, obviously, but it's just they want to go through the catechism just the same way as we do in the second service. The first service would like to do that as well. But they're just looking for somebody who would come forward and just be willing to answer the questions. Stand up front, I guess, the front two rows, just answer the questions. So it's a challenge to any one of you. And if I know there's many elderly that have, in the past, they had to memorize and they know the answers off by heart. There's no age. I guess you have to be baptized, of course. But anybody who's willing to answer the questions for the first service, come forward to see Jake Bickert in the first service. Thank you.
Thanks for those announcements. I could tell you another story. Before I was ordained, but I was elected already. One Sunday morning, at that time, I usually did chores. It was kind of a hectic life, but I did chores till like quarter after 9 or 9:30 Sunday mornings, and we quickly run through the shower and go off to church. And this one winter day, a minister phoned the board and says, "I can't make it. The highway's closed at Portage." What do? They phone me. So I had a 10 minutes to even think about this. And I said, well, I'll probably find something. And so I just opened my Bible, and it fell to the fruit of the Spirit in Ephesians 5, and that's what I shared that morning. So, yeah, I was nervous too. So I thank you for coming. It's always a joy and a pleasure to come out and serve. And I told my wife this morning, you know what? I have a couple scriptures written down. But I got up early and I just said, Lord, just lead me this morning to share what this congregation wants me to share with them. And so I thank you for listening, and thank you also for the candidates again for answering those questions, and I really encourage you in the step that you're making. And will life always be easy? No, but now you have a friend so dear to to your life, right? Let us bow for the benediction we find in Numbers 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And God be with you till we meet again. Thank you.